Christ's name, amen. We have been on this journey in Luke 15. Theme for the year, I serve. Theme for this quarter, shaped to serve. And we have found in these parables, Luke 15, Jesus speaking to these issues. Recall, we have given the setting. The scholars in general agree that these stories were told at Matthew the publican's home. Jesus, we have pointed out, was not particular. And folk, we should be grateful today that Jesus is not particular about who he calls into the church. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. Judas, who's called a thief, called by Christ. In fact, he said in John 6, I have chosen you 12. We forget that Judas was chosen. I've chosen you 12. He's chosen common fishermen. He has chosen these rabble-rousers, James and John, the sons of thunder. He's chosen Simon the Zealot, an insurrectionist. He's chosen Thomas, known for his doubts. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the apostles. These are the disciples. And Christ has shown no particular specificity, no care, it appears. He just chooses people. And yet, I don't know about you, I see a common theme. He's chosen people who are messed up. That's why you didn't want to say amen, but I'm going to say it again. He's chosen people who are messed up. Let me say it again. That's why you're here. He didn't choose the good guys. Now, I got nothing against good guys. But Jesus announced very clearly, he said, I did not come to save the righteous. Didn't he say it? In fact, he said, those who are well don't need a physician. My specialty is the broken. Well, Matthew is so thrilled, so particularly thrilled that Jesus has chosen him, he decides to throw a party. And he invites James Armstrong, he invites the harlots and the dope pushers and the fellow publicans and the gangsters, the lowlifes of the community are invited to this party. And some of the staid and tried folk in the church are shocked. Speechless. And so they go just outside the house of Matthew. And they're listening to the music. Boom, 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 boom. But they won't go in. They won't go in. And Jesus comes out. But before he comes out, these Pharisees and scribes make accusations against my Savior, and the accusations are, this man eateth with sinners. He eats with sinners and receives them. Oh, my goodness gracious sakes. What? Yes. Unspeakable. Jesus does not argue with them, but tells four stories. How many stories? Four stories. Four stories. Story of the lost sheep. And we studied that. That's a story about a man who has 100 sheep, loses one, seeks after him. And we learned from that parable that Christ was teaching that we must have the same attitude toward the church that he has. Remember that? Yeah. We must see the church as Jesus sees it, that if Tacoma Park Church is going to grow, we must take on an attitude about the church that he has. And in Jesus' mind, the church is for everybody. It was a weak response, y'all. The church is for everybody. Yes. Remember, that's why you're here. You're one of the everybodies. Church is for everybody. And so Christ goes and brings them, seeks for them. And of course, we can't forget that sheep was in the fold, which says that, and it's interesting that he tells that story first, because it says that the first responsibility of the church, did to Abraham, is to go after those who used to be in our membership. I said to the board of elders when I first got to TPC, I said, look, we don't need to necessarily right now go out casting the net. We need to find all those folk on our roll who are not coming. So it goes after the sheep. And then we studied the parable of the lost coin. Oh, that really got to us. Because we found out that coin was lost where? Who remembered the sermon? Oh, they listened. They listened. Where was the coin lost? In the house. In the church. Jennifer, that got to be disturbing, because we learned from that parable that it's possible, Latrice, that you're sitting right now next to somebody in the church who's lost. Husband, wife, child. People sitting in church and do not realize their own spiritual condition. Oh, we talked about it. We talked about it. Your husband, your wife, your children just sitting there. People hoping the service is not too long. Yeah, lost, don't know it. Yeah. As soon as I got up, they looked. Lost. In the church. Somebody watching me right now. I see you watching me right now online. You've got some habit, something you're still dealing with, and you've not faced up to the fact that thing is destroying your soul. Lost. Watching online. Watching church online. Lost. Sitting in the church with God's tithe in your wallet. Have no intention of giving it today. Go get that new dress. Yes. Not going to pay that tithe. Lost in the church. All right, I'll leave that alone. My point is, the lost coin left us very disturbed, because we were feeling very comfortable before the pastor preached that sermon, and then we found out it's actually possible to be faithful in attendance, faithful and even giving, but because you've not let the warmth of Christ fill your life, fill your soul. You don't have joy. You don't have joy in Christ. You're just going through the motions like these Pharisees, lost in the house. Yes. We talked about that. And then, thank you, Latara. We talked about that prodigal son. Wasn't he a mess? Oh, he was a mess. Do you remember what woke him up? Somebody tell me. Don't be afraid to say it. The smell of pig. Oh, man, I enjoyed preaching that sermon. The smell of pig woke that brother up. And we said that pig represented what? The smell represented what? Himself. That one of the purposes of God is to find you, bring you to the point where you smell yourself. And that awfulness of self, when you realize how bad you can be, when you realize that without Christ, you'll waste everything you are. When you come to that point, we found out that you can really, really, really wake up. And the pig pen brought him home. Oh, that was wonderful. Because when he got home, we found out that the father, even though that brother smelled like pig, pig in his clothes, pig in his hair, pig in his breath, when he got home, the father did what? Hugged him. Smelling like a pig, the father hugged him. And we took time to praise God that no matter how bad I smell, Jesus covers me with his righteousness. Oh, y'all too calm for me today. Hallelujah. Praise the name of God. I'm going to tell you, if you ever really smell yourself, you're going to want somebody to cover you. Come on. One of the most shocking moments in life, Anwar, is to find out how bad you can be. Woo-wee. But Jesus. Well, bless your soul. Most people stop preaching the parables of the lost things there. But the chapter has more than three lost things. It has four. There's one more parable. Turn with me to Luke. Oh, thank you, James. You read that thing so beautifully. Luke 15. Now, you need to understand that these parables were told, Shirley Calise, in response to an accusation. So you cannot complete, and I'm teaching now what we call contextual preaching, you cannot complete the parables without making sure that your ultimate conclusions are in the context of the whole chapter. And so, Rita, before I can appreciate the last parable, I must go back to the first verses. So let's go to Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. Do you see it? Here we go. Join me in reading it. Come on, let's read it together. Come on. Then drew near unto him. I'm in the KJV. And I'm one of the old guys, got the old Bible, but read whatever you got. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Now, this is beautiful to me. The publicans and sinners, man, they're sitting there. They're hanging on every word. While that's going on, America, look at verse 2. Come on, read it. Come on. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. So, point one. The parables, Molly Abraham, are told in response to the accusation. You see it? Yeah. The four parables, Joe, are told, Angela, in response to the accusation. He's accused by church members. I can hardly get it out. Somebody help me. Church members accuse Jesus of being a savior. Oh, my Lord. What a conundrum of thought. We accuse you of receiving sinners. Duh. He's a savior. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And eating with them. Well, what do saviors do? Thank you, God. Thank you for being a savior. Thank you for not being intimidated by the accusation. And so we declare together in one voice, Jesus is guilty. Yeah, give God a hand. He's guilty. He's a guilty. Give God glory. He's guilty. Now, you can sit there calm all you want. I'm so glad he's guilty. I don't know what to do. Because I'm standing here. I'm proof that Jesus is guilty. And so are you. So are you. So the parables, we got to get this, Melanie. The parables are in response to the accusation. Are you with me? Now, let's go back to the last parable. I want to show you something. I love studying the Bible like this. That's why I don't be in the pulpit when I get down here with you. Now. The elder son was in the field. Now, immediately my mind says, how come this fella ain't out there with his daddy waiting for his brother to come home? Hello. See, according to the story, when the son came home, the father saw him afar off, which means the father was doing what? Watching. But brother man, he's out in the field. He's out making a living. He's out paying for the condo. He's out doing the things that will elevate him. He's out there. He has not thought about his brother. So I'm disturbed that he's in the field. Secondly, I'm disturbed that he's so wrapped up in the field, he don't even know his brother's home. You know, the brother's sitting in church, and he's so conscious of the clock, he didn't even notice that at the appeal, somebody joined the church. How was church today? I don't know, Pastor, was kind of long today. Five folk joined the church, you don't even mention it. You hear what I'm saying to you, folk? Why are we here? What's the purpose? Where's your mind? The stories are trying to teach us to think about the church like Jesus does. This is not an entertainment society. The best thing that happens in this church every Sabbath is when somebody says yes to Jesus. Otherwise, what are we doing here? He doesn't even know his brother has come home. So the servant, he calls one of the servants. Verse 26. What's going on? What was all the music? Where's everybody? And so the servant has to tell him, thy brother has come. Now, I want to point something out to you right now. In the last parable, only two people call the prodigal son brother, a servant and the father. The elder brother never calls his brother brother. Now I'm going to put it to you real straight. I want to get right up in your nose. Until you consider the worst sinner in this church your brother or sister, you're an elder son. Until you can see the person at TPC who got caught in a mess as your brother, your sister, until you can see that young man who got caught with marijuana as your brother, until you can see that young woman who got caught with a pregnancy out of wedlock as your sister, until you can see the worst person you know as your brother, you're an elder brother. You have the spirit of the scribes and Pharisees, because brothers and sisters, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, how dare I separate myself from the worst people in the church? Yeah, Lord help us. Lord help us. Lord help us. Verse 28, he was angry and would not go in. Now. He was angry and would not go in. He was angry and would not go in. Go back to verse 1. Verse 2. Where were the scribes and Pharisees at Matthew? He's coming right at him now. He's coming right at him. The elder son would not go in. The Pharisees and scribes would not go in Matthew's house. Do you see it? I get excited about this stuff. It's like the Bible to open up to people. You see it? He's now coming, Pyramid. He's right at them. You wouldn't go in Matthew's house, and this elder brother wouldn't go into the house where they were celebrating his brother's return. See, the old black spiritual says, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Never lift yourself up higher than those who are fallen. He was angry, would not go in. Now the parable's coming together, Darnell. Now we're seeing it. Now we know Christ is actually talking to those folk outside Matthew's house. You wouldn't go in, the other brother wouldn't go in. That's you. But Jesus is too kind to say it. He's too kind to say it. Now verse 29. Well, verse 28, and he was angry and not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Now get the picture. The party's inside, but the father who represents the Savior goes out. Jesus separates himself from the celebration to save the sinner. Jesus separated himself from heaven to save this planet. Come on, somebody. How can you sit there so calm? Jesus left the party in glory where angels always praise and sing and give God glory. He left the party to come out and stand outside with us. I can't be calm about it. I'll let you be calm. I can't be calm about it. I cannot be calm about that. But I see, Lord, leaving glory and power and praise and honor to come outside where we are. I got to shout about it. Now, verse 29 makes me want to vomit. Here we go. And he, answering his father, said, "Lo," that sounds pious, "lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment." That's a big fat lie. "And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends." I got it in my notes. See, I'm an old guy, I forget stuff. Got it in my notes. I found, yeah, here it is. I found seven things in that verse that I don't like. First, he brags on his years in the church. Did you hear him? Read it. Don't look at me. Look at the verse. These years. Fourth generation Seventh-day Adventist pastor. My great grandfather was right there when Brother White. I'm third generation Seventh-day Adventist. Don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing. When I go in glory, there's not going to be any angels standing at the door. Fourth, third generation Adventist right over here on this side. Can I get a witness? Yes. It does not mean anything. Oh, I come from a long line of elders. Oh, all my uncles are elders. My dad's an elder. Yes, sir. Oh, missionary. Oh, yeah. Missionary family. First in Africa. That's nice. Hey, it's nice. It don't count for salvation. Ask the thief on the cross how much tithe he paid. But I heard my Savior say, I say to you today, when I get there, you're going to be there. Hallelujah. Because I'm reading hearts. I'm not reading statistics. I'm reading hearts. I'm not counting tithe. I'm counting hearts. I'm not counting souls baptized. Hear me right. I'm counting hearts. I'm only concerned that the heart is mine. That's qualification. I got carried away. I got six more things to read here. First, he brags on his years in the church. Second, he brags on his spiritual condition and displays a self-centered view of his relationship to the Father. "Neither have I transgressed thy commandment." That's a lot of nerve. That's a whole lot of nerve. Number three, he complains that his service has not been extolled. "Ain't never killed no fatted calf for me, my friends. He never praised me for how much in gathering I raised. How come my name's out on that window? My family gave that glass." So, folks, I'm only concerned about one list. When the roll is called up yonder, come on, somebody. I want to be there. All the rest of that stuff don't mean nothing, because even if your family name is on the pew, he's going to burn it up. So, number three, he complains that his service has not been extolled. Number four, he refuses to see himself as a sinner and therefore will not refer to his brother as brother. Read those verses. He never calls his brother, brother. That says everything to me about him. On the 28th of March, this church is about to go out. Many of us will go out. Those people out there are brothers, our sisters. The drunk lying in the street, our brother, our sister. The homeless person, our brother, our sister. If we have any other attitude, don't go out there and insult people with your piety. They don't need it. They ain't got no food, no clothes, no love. They don't need your piety. They need your caring and your tenderness, your understanding. People don't always need correction, folk. They just need caring. Now, number five is something. Let me look at it. Number five is something. Make sure I didn't make it up. Yeah, verse 30. Watch this, Anwar. The nerve of this guy. But as soon as this thy son, so he ain't said brother, has come, which will devour thy living with harlots, he throws his baby brother under the bus by calling out his sins publicly. I'm glad you're appalled. Some of you said, "Oh, I'm glad you're upset with me. How dare he call out publicly?" You see, this tells me something. Watch it. The father didn't go to the far country. How does the brother know what his brother did? You all hear me? How dare you ever in church speak of somebody else's failings? Oh, I'm so glad. Did you see Mary? Oh, I'm so glad to see her. Yeah. You know, second child out of wedlock, you know. Yeah, glad she's here. Isn't God good? You hypocrite. Did you see Sister Jones? Yes, that's her boy right next to her. Yeah. You know, he was tried for using drugs. Isn't it nice that he's here, child? Isn't God good? The person sitting next to you don't know why the boy hasn't been in church. How dare sinners call out the sins of sinners? How dare we keep lists? Particularly when the God I serve has told me your sins shall be blotted out. So when you talk about a sinner's sins who's come back to the Father, you're talking about stuff where there's no record in heaven. If God can forget it, we ought to forget it. He throws his brother under the bus, calling out his sins. So number six, I write, put it in red so I could see it. Therefore, he has done a servant's work, but never had a servant's heart. He stayed home. He was in church every Sabbath. He worked the fields. He held positions in church. He never served the Lord. The last thing I have against him, he does not go in to the party. I'm wrapping it up now. I'm done. Verse 31 and 32. I want to end the sermon by celebrating the love of Jesus. And he said unto him, Son, now folk, get the picture. There is a party going on inside, celebrating the return of a sinner. That's the setting. That's what makes this so sad. And the father, see, let's go back to verse 2. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. What the Pharisees didn't know is that they were the elder son. All the parables were about them. In their hearts they had left the fold. And their hearts lost in the house. And their hearts in the far country. And now in the last parable, Jesus wraps them up in one story and says, all along I've been trying to reach you. All along, you elder sons, I've been trying to reach you. How dare you not go in and celebrate? Therefore, I love you so much, I'll go out there where you are. I'll go out where you are. I will go out where you are. And now the most unique thing about this parable. Dear to Abraham, Dr. Deshay, this is the only parable without an ending. Look at verse 32. Look at verse 32. Look at verse 32. There's no end. Question remaining. Does he ever go in? And the Bible doesn't tell us. I think there's a reason for that. Because the parable is about me. And I ain't dead yet. Anybody who reads this parable and is alive, the parable is about you. The parable ends with the question, will you ever go in? Will you ever celebrate the grace of God? Will you ever admit that you need righteousness and salvation as well as the drug addict? Will you ever understand that you smell like a pig? Will you ever see yourself lost like a coin? Will you ever understand that you're a sheep lost out there? Will you ever? We don't know. The parable has no end. But it does end with Jesus standing out there trying to get me to come home. The parable ends with the waiting Savior. The parable ends with the pleading Savior. The parable ends with the waiting Savior. The parable ends with Jesus being what they accused him of being. This man eateth with sinners and receives them. Christ's response, yeah, I'm out here with you. I'm out here with you. Waiting, pleading, asking, begging, searching, succoring, hoping that you will come in. Sing the song, Anwar.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why won't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him?
Would you bow your head with me now as he continues to sing?
Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh,
just hold on, Anwar. Let's get right to it. We end now Luke 15 in the process of the four parables. You have seen some things about yourself you do not like. Your name is on the roll. And by all appearances, you are a faithful member, and I'm not going to question that or judge you. But you've seen some things about yourself. And you want to be that kind of person that Christ can use. That Christ can use. You want to be free of any attitude that rises you above even the worst on the planet. You want to be sure you're not keeping Jesus outside because he can't get you to see how you are. The Father wanted his son to celebrate with him the coming home of his brother. Christ needs you to be celebratory with him in the work of the church. He wants you to have the same hunger for souls he has. And you see, you're not there. You want to have that kind of heart. There's signs of it, but you want to have that fullness of heart. The appeal is you want to have that fullness of heart toward the lost and the broken that Jesus has. You want that. If that's your desire, just raise your hand. I don't want you to come up. I don't want you to come forward. Just raise your hand. Hands are down. Next appeal. You need to come home today. You need to come home today. And you know it. But my name's on the roll. Well, big deal. You need to come home today. Or you've been taking Bible studies, you've never made that decision. Or you've not been taking Bible studies, but the Lord's Spirit has spoken to you today. Next week we're going to have baptism. You won't be ready for that one maybe, but you want to start heading in that direction. So today, this final appeal is for those who want to make that fresh start with Jesus. Either on the roll, not on the roll. But you want to come forward today and present yourself. Well, Anwar, I think there's another verse. Sing that. Let's see if somebody will come.
If you take one step towards the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide.
Who else will come?
Receive him and all of your darkness will end.
Who else will come?
Within your heart he'll abide.
Come on, friend, come on. Sometimes we make things a big deal that don't need to be a big deal. Just come.
Time after time.
Don't make any difference what somebody thinks, somebody says. This is your moment with Jesus.
Before.
Come on down here.
And now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to go in.
Just softly playing. A day's going to come when this congregation is going to learn when I make an appeal to go into prayer. I shouldn't have to ask you. Go into prayer. This is the most important thing that happens every Sabbath. Just preaching the word, singing the hymn, and going home, that's not church. The church is a place where people make decisions for Jesus Christ. Every Sabbath, we got to give that opportunity. Somebody else. Or I close it down. Father, I thank you that you're willing to stand outside and wait on me. You forsook heaven and the constant celebration there to stand outside on planet Earth and plead with us. Many of us have responded, and today more have responded. Thank you for the word. Thank you for its power. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray, and all the people said, amen.